You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's Thursday, December 23rd, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, two shows left before the end of the year for us here on the podcast. Today, we're going to jump into a couple of Guardians prospects, guys who were added to the 40-man roster. And we're going to wrap up our countdown of those guys on the 40-man roster the Guardians added at the end of November to avoid losing them in the Rule 5 draft. First guy we're going to take a look at is outfielder Stephen Kwan, a guy who really sort of had an all-around great year and put himself on the radar for a possibility here just by increasing his power profile and becoming an option out there in the outfield. One of those guys who sort of played his way into the mix in the outfield for the Guardians.
Yeah, Joe, this is, Kwan is a fifth-round pick out of Oregon State in 2018. The Indians gave him $185,000 signing bonus. And this guy is kind of like an old-school leadoff hitter. You know, that's kind of his profile. In his last year at Oregon State, he walked 50 times and struck out 18 times. He kind of did the same kind of thing, not to that proportion, but this past season at AA and AAA, Akron and Columbus, he walked 36 times and struck out 31 times. So, you know, he's a guy that knows the strike zone. And like you said, Joe, his power really, really jumped up this past season.
He batted a combined 328 between Akron and Columbus this past season. That's saying something. And like you said, he's a guy who knows the strike zone, can control the strike zone. And that sort of fits the profile of the hitters that Cleveland has sort of kept in their stable, kept in their fold. It's the profile that they're trying to build with these guys, is guys who put the ball in play, make contact, and can get on base.
Yeah, definitely. And this is a guy, He's not a big guy, 5'9", 175, throws left, bats left, 24 years old. Like we're talking about, great on base, feel for it, great on base percentage. But the power kind of jumped out at me, Joe, because in his first, before this season, after turning pro, he'd only hit three home runs in all that time. And this year he goes up to 12 home runs. So that kind of put him, like you said, that put him on the map and made him a candidate to get placed on the 40 man on November 19th when they put 11 people on there.
Yeah, the OPS jumped to 934, and that's the magic formula right there. He went from an 818 career minor league OPS to a 934 OPS last season, and maybe the guys in the development system saw that the light went off, and something changed for him. He was not only he already had that ability to put the ball in play and already had that ability to get on base like he does, but now he's driving the ball and he's driving it to gaps and he's getting on base and he's taking extra bases and he's hitting the ball out of the park. That's the sort of momentum and upward trajectory that you need for a hitter like this if he's going to, you know, make the jump from AA to AAA and then from AAA up to the majors. It would not surprise me if he's the starting center fielder in Columbus when the clubs break camp and you know head into the regular season. But if there's ever a need, and especially with the, you know, the way that Miles Straw plays center field, if he's out there, you know, running gap to gap, and there's always a potential for injury or time on the injured list, Stephen Kwan could be making his major league debut sometime in, you know, if not before early May, or I'm sorry, before late May, sometime definitely by the middle of the season.
Yeah, you know, this past season he made 45 starts in center for Akron and Columbus, 15 in left field. So, you know, I would think, you know, this guy, he profiles as a center fielder, you know, center fielder slash leadoff hitter. And, and a lot of people think he could stay in center. You know, he's got the chops, he's got the range, he's got the speed to do that. You know, just you wonder offensively, Joe, if he could do enough, you know, to, you know, play every day in center fielder, but in center field. But that doesn't mean he couldn't be like a fourth outfielder maybe or something like that, you know?
Right. Right now, what just not having seen him, but what I'm seeing from the numbers and how he projects, he might project a little bit stronger than like a Greg Allen. You know, they tried for so long to make Greg Allen an everyday guy, and he never really grasped it or you know, ran with it. But there was talent there, and you could see it. And once in a while, Greg Allen could get a hold of a ball and hit the ball. I think Kwan could be a little bit more of a little bit more power than Greg Allen potentially, but I don't know if the speed is the same there. Just, yeah, like you said, a fourth outfielder maybe, but I hope that he doesn't have to prove that he can play every day, because that would mean some things are going on in the outfield for Cleveland during this season.
Yeah, but this is a good story. This is a guy that, you know, really has kind of, you know, fought his way up through the system and had a big year when it counted and, you know, got put on a 40-man. And, you know, the next step is, you know, kind of establishing yourself at AAA and then getting to the big leagues. So it's going to be exciting. This, you know, Joe, his minor league totals, it's a .301 batting average, 100 walks, 87 Ks, you know, .380 on base percentage, .438 slug. So, you know, pretty decent numbers.
Yeah. And remember, he's only played in what, 217 minor league games. I mean, all of these guys who we're talking about for being added to the 40-man, not a lot of them have a depth of experience in the minors, because the years that they would have been playing at the top levels in AA and in AAA, they missed them because of the pandemic and, you know, if not injuries or whatever. We're talking about some guys who have a real small sample size in terms of what they've done in the minor leagues.
Yeah, and you know, interesting guy, and you wonder just how far he can take it, you know, but he certainly had a big year at the right time.
Speaking of another interesting guy, a guy that we don't know a whole lot about, but Cleveland acquired him, I believe at the end of, or was it at the trading deadline? It's Tobias Myers, the right-hander from Tampa Bay that they got right at the trade deadline, right?
Yeah. And, Tobias Myers, you know, Joe, I think, you know, the Indians, this is a kid that Baltimore drafted out of Winter Haven High School in Winter Haven, Florida. So I'm sure Tobias might have been in the stands at Chain of Lakes Park when maybe watching some Indian spring training games, Cleveland spring training games when they trained down there. Maybe, you know, right next to Little Lake Lulu, he might have been, I don't know if he saw any snakes crawling through the stands or not, but that was always an interesting place, Chain of Lakes Park. But, you know, kid from Florida, He's already been traded twice. He's only 20, you know, he's only, I think he's only 24 years old. You know, Baltimore traded him to Tampa Bay in 2017, and Tampa Bay has dealt him to Cleveland in at November 11th, right when, and he was automatically added to the 40 man. You know, pretty good numbers this past season, Joe. At Double A and Triple A in the you know, the Rays farm system, 8-7, 3.90, 25 games, 22 starts, 146 Ks in 117 and two-thirds innings, 28 walks, and allowed just 101 hits.
Yeah, and really, having been traded early on in his career, I believe you said he was traded for Tim Beckham, who was, you know, a high draft pick.
Yeah, he was like the first player taken in the 2008 draft by the Rays. So he was, you know, he didn't quite pan out. He's still playing. I think he's in Seattle now. He's bounced around a little bit, but you know, that shows you, you know, kind of the value of that, you know, Myers has, you know, the way the, you know, that Tampa Bay looked at Myers.
He was, at the time he was traded from Tampa, he was ranked as their 29th prospect in the top 30 by MLB Pipeline. So yeah, you know, he has a little bit of buzz. He has a little bit of, you know, value in that regard. You really sort of see him as a depth guy at Triple A, and really sort of maybe headlining that rotation down there as they open the season.
Yeah. You know, and you know, they've got we've got Eli Morgan, I guess Logan Allen is out of options. So, you know, they're going to have they've got to make a decision on him come spring training.
Well, that's Logan S. Allen, because I would imagine Logan T. Allen's going to be up in the rotation at AAA at some point this season as well.
Definitely. And, you know, so, and, you know, Tobias Myers adds to that depth, you know, along with, you know, how many pitchers did they, you know, they drafted, what, 18 pitchers out of 21 draft picks last season. So I'm sure some of those guys probably aren't ready to make the jump to AAA or AA yet, but you know, layer of depth as well.
A guy that we talked about yesterday in Connor Pilkington, he'll be up there in that rotation. I gotta imagine as well.
And Peyton Battenfield, right?
Peyton Battenfield, yeah.
Yeah, those guys are all going to be in that group. So that's going to be interesting to watch. And you know, they needed to kind of, you know, reload that depth portion of their rotation, get some young starters in here, and Myers certainly fills that bill. The one question, you know, that I couldn't really find too much about, Joe, is how hard, what the velo is on Myers. And they had him, I know, coming out of high school, he's around 90, 93, you know, but I was as a high school senior. He's a little older now, so maybe that's ticked up a little bit.
Yeah, 24 years old, I got to imagine he throws a little bit harder than that now. But, you know, great. It sounds like another addition that they sort of took him on just, you know, knowing that he's going to take that spot on the 40-man. But eventually they won't, you know, be crying over it if they have to move on from him and move him off the 40-man at some point as well.
Yeah, just, you know, take a shot at the guy, you know, and you know, obviously they wanted him, you know, they wouldn't have made that deal at the trade deadline because they had enough, you know, there were bodies flying all over the place at down at the executive offices at Progressive Field. What, you know, they dropped seven guys off the roster and added 11 guys. So, you know, they must have seen something in Myers and are willing to take a chance on him.
Okay. So that's going to wrap up our look at the guys who were added to the 40-man roster, the young players who don't really have any major league experience. We've sort of taken the last 2.5 to 3 weeks here to sort of look at those guys, in addition to the segments that we've done on the already established major leaguers. Hoynsie, you wrote about the 40-man roster last week and just said, yeah, with all of these changes and with all this churn and everything, you know, things look different. But there's still some work that needs to be done with this 40-man roster. There's still some some moves that need to be made. Obviously, they're eyeing some sort of big trade once the lockout ends. They've got to make some moves to get an outfield bat in there and do something in that regard. Is that really the only area that they're looking to improve this 40-man roster as soon as the breaks are taken off, or is it more than just an outfield bat?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's got to be more than an outfield bat, Joe. I think they could use a veteran arm or two in that bullpen. You know, maybe they bring back a Blake Parker or Brian Shaw. I don't know. You know, those are the kind of, because those guys really did a nice job last season, or a guy, you know, pitchers in a similar vein than those guys that can, because if you look at that bullpen right now, it's awfully young and not a lot of experience. So I'd like to see them, you know, add a veteran arm or two to the pen. I don't know if they're satisfied with the catching situation or not. That kind of scares me a little bit. You know, are you really going to go with Austin Hedges and Sandy Leon? I don't know. I mean, you know, you would like to get a little offense in there or something, you know, but the free agent catching market is, you know, it's pretty much bottomed out, and pretty much the Indians have had just about everybody in the free agent market has at one time or another in the last 3 or 4 years has played for Cleveland. So I'm not sure which way they go. Maybe they make a trade there.
Maybe they don't have Ryan LaVarnway on speed dial, right?
Yeah. But like you said, I think they've got to make a move for a bat somewhere. Either, okay, do you make a move at first base? Can you upgrade that? Or are you going to give Bobby Bradley a chance? Or is Bobby Bradley involved in a trade? And you kind of look for another bat there. But really, in the corner outfields, left and right field, like you said, that seems to be the screaming area of concern. You know, and you don't have to be an expert to see that.
More likely that they spend a little less. You know, they're not going to spend to get an outfielder. They're not going to spend money on like a Michael Conforto in free agency to bring in an outfielder. More likely that they acquire in a trade like a Brian Reynolds, who's a more controllable guy who fits what they're trying to do there in the outfield. And maybe they spend a little less and bring in that veteran reliever, like you said, a Blake Parker, who did a great job with a guy like Trevor Stephan, who was up on a Rule 5 year where he had to be on the roster, and it was a learning year for him. And Blake Parker showed Trevor Stephan the split finger and, you know, really sort of turned his season around and helped him get through and survive that rookie Rule 5 year being on the Major League roster. Like you said, Blake Parker's presence was as important as his results this year. This past season. So yeah, there are definitely needs. The thing is that the needs, they're not like so glaring beyond that, that one outfield bat. They're not like so glaring that you can't get through. They could survive with the catching situation that they have right now. If everybody stays healthy, they can survive with it. They can survive with the bullpen the way it is, even though it's young and inexperienced. If James Karinchak comes back and is not a total dumpster fire, a situation there. They've got a really good foundation there in the bullpen. The rotation is solid. Like you said, the lineup needs that bat. So beyond that one big trade for an outfield bat, I think, you know, if they decide to roll into spring training this way, it might have to do.
Yeah, and the one area we forgot, Joe, is second base. They've got to name a second baseman, but they've got so many candidates. So I would think, you know, somebody's going to, you know, win that job, but, you know, it could be a rotating position too. And, you know, as the season goes on, just the sheer numbers of guys that could play there.
You ever seen one of those t-shirts where they combine all the Cleveland logos and it's like the brownie elf with a Cavalier's sword with, you know, the Chief Wahoo feather and
right,
all that.
Right.
If you could take Andres Jimenez, Owen Miller, Ernie Clement, and just combine all of those guys into one guy who could be your guy at second base, I think they would truly like that. But, you know, who knows? Maybe Andres Jimenez, you know, rises up and gives them what they, you know, sort of thought they were getting when they traded for him, when they brought, when they sent Francisco Lindor to the Mets and brought him and Ahmed Rosario over. Those are the big questions. The roster, we've been through it forward, backwards, and inside out, as we get closer to training camp and sort of get a clearer picture of the way things are going to be. We'll definitely have more thoughts on the construction of this roster moving forward. That'll wrap it up for today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. And really, I think tomorrow's edition, for Christmas Eve holiday, we're going to do a quick look back at 2021 and the highs and lows for Cleveland. The Indians, the Guardians, and everything in between will be the show tomorrow here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Hoynesy, I can't wait to get into it with you.
All right, Joe.